Hello, welcome back to the Support Staff Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Miller, and today we have some great people on the Support Staff Podcast. We have the guys from the video department, coaches video department, that is, at the University at Buffalo, Jimmy Lee, the director of video, and Brandon McLean, the assistant video coordinator for the University at Buffalo football team. Both of these guys I just met in person at CSVA, which is the Collegiate Sport Video Association, which is out in Anaheim, California this year. A great, great opportunity to meet a lot of different people, and a great opportunity to meet these guys as well. Both outstanding dudes, have a lot going for them in their respective fields, especially coaches video, as well as the creative aspect of all college football athletics, and just good overall people. Both Jimmy and Brandon are both down-to-earth people. When I asked them to do this Support Staff Podcast, they were very, very excited to do it. And they said, you know, we really would like to kind of flip it around on you and ask you some questions because nobody really gets to ask you anything. So at the end of the podcast, this is a two-part podcast. Today, you'll be listening to a majority of the questions that we normally ask these people and some other questions as well. But today, you will hear part one with Jimmy and Brandon as we go deeper into what they do at the University at Buffalo football team, coaches video department, and the creative department. So without further ado, let's get into the Support Staff Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Support Staff Podcast. My name is Chris Vermiller, your host, and today we are interviewing two gentlemen from the University of Buffalo football team, heading up the video department. We have Jimmy Lee and Brandon McLean. Guys, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic. How are you?
We're living the dream, of course.
Doing well. I'm glad you're living the dream because definitely that is something that most people don't get to do.
Well, I haven't figured it out whether it's a perpetual nightmare yet, so... So we'll figure it out. This podcast is definitely making my mood a little bit better, though. So
good. Just a little bit of background on these guys. So both Jimmy and Brandon, Jimmy being the video director and Brandon being the assistant video guy up at the University of Buffalo. Brandon's been at Buffalo for 1 year. Jimmy has been there for 2 years. Before, they've been working in athletics or some type of capacity with athletics. So being a support staff role is something that's not new to them. And they are definitely some of the, I would say, higher ups and up and comings in this great profession that we are all working in. Brandon does a little bit of graphic design, and Jimmy, you do a little bit of the video production, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you guys don't already, you can follow them at where on Twitter, guys?
My handle is Jimmy_LEUB.
Okay.
And you can find me on Twitter at BMACKUBFB.
All right. And then what's your guys' football account so people can take a look at what you guys are putting out there recruiting-wise? Because I know you have a recruiting account, and then you also have a main account as well, correct?
So we have three separate accounts that we have to cater to. The main one we always want people to follow is UB Football. That's the main account run by not only us partially, but athletics in general.
Okay.
So all the official press release information, you're going to get off of there. So Okay. Definitely need to follow that. The two that are specifically run by this program, this video department, are the UB Recruiting Twitter and then UB Football Video. The football video part, you're going to get all of the post-production videos. The recruiting, most of the time, you're going to get our graphics, whether it's an infographic, game hype, any pertinent information that goes out from an internal standpoint.
Yeah, because most recently I've seen that with your coaches being on the road for recruiting this last month and a half, you guys have been putting out some really cool graphics as far as the coach in the nearest terminal, things of that nature, to show the players and the prospective recruits that the coaches are there and they're ready to come see you. And I think that's a really good advantage and sell point for you guys to have that out there, because I hadn't seen anybody really use that kind of venue previously. I've seen them use, like, for example, Arkansas, like, you know, they're out hunting hogs and things of that nature. But I really like the aspect that you guys took.
Yeah, that is all credited to one of our student assistants, Doug Green. I mean, I call him a student assistant, but realistically, he's classically trained in graphic design. He's getting his graduate degree from Canisius right now, and he's going to be looking for a big time job soon, and he's more than deserving of it.
Yeah.
So shout out to him. But it was his baby from start to finish, and in all honesty, you can have that type of vision, right? But you got to be able to execute at the end of the day. And he hit it to a T. Proud to say that, you know, for all the on the road graphics, right? Those are all done actually by student assistants.
Okay.
Getting their foot into graphic design. And they did a really good job. We here at UB, we adhere to a couple of simple rules, mm-hmm. right? When it comes to graphic design, whether one, it, just keep it simple. Two, do you know your audience? And then three, is it something that honestly is going to keep the memory within the general population, right? Like just like you were talking about, like, oh, we haven't seen that before. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're changing the world, but the ideas that we try to think of outside the box hopefully make us stand out in some capacity, or that's what we aim for.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest things, especially now with the support staff role and a graphic design role, is thinking outside the box. Connecting with who you're trying to get to, your demographics, and then also, you know, not trying to look as cookie cutter as the rest of the world. For you guys to be doing that, I think that's pretty awesome. To see that on your guys' page is very awesome to see. So, and the fact that students are doing is another awesome thing I think that you guys are doing to give somebody a look into this type of role so that they can have a future. You know, not necessarily do they think they're going to be doing this for a job, but this is something that they'll be able to take and move on with and move forward with.
When it comes to students, just like getting them to be on the same page and getting that same graphic look across the board is something that obviously like big schools definitely have and always want to push, but also giving them the chance to explore creatively is something that we like to do a lot, and letting them like see what they can do really, especially with a lot of them being new to graphic design and post-production and all these things, just giving them the creative freedom. Something that we definitely try to do just to get them their foot in the door, really.
I think one of the things too is like a lot of kids, either they are going to be going to school for this or they're going to be self-taught. I know with Bo, my graphic designer, self-taught on a lot of the stuff. Myself, video production, I was self-taught on everything that I knew. Even when it was Final Cut before, you know, Premiere Pro and things of that nature. No, it's great that you guys are taking that aspect, giving these tools to these students, because that's going to be more helpful for them through the road and down the road, if anything. So
I think now, especially in the age that we're in, we can do so much more than our previous generations can. Yep. My dad used to always tell me, like, after he came home from work, like, that was kind of it. You know, we have the skills and the tools and the resources to be able to do stuff when we get home, you know,
yeah.
From a digital standpoint. So I think that even if they end up taking this as a hobby at the end of the day, they're going to be better off because, well, they can do pro bono work on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They can take those skills pretty much wherever they go. Somebody's going to need something creatively.
Yep.
Small business, big time schools. We're in a really, really good age of and timing for us to be able to maximize our productivity as a person.
Creativity
too. Yeah.
So many avenues, just different websites, different needs for anything. Like, you can get a logo done for wherever. People always need brands built. People always need a title page for the YouTube page, Twitter, all this. So there's a lot of ways to get your foot in the door and a lot of ways to just express yourself, and as well as being able to like make money at the same time. So
no,
yeah, we've come a long way from delivering pizzas. So
one of the things I really like to do real quick, just to kind of loosen up and everything, is just some quick fire questions. So I'll ask you guys a question and then I'll have you both answer it if you're good with that. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. So if you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say? And we'll start with Brandon.
That's a good one. Really, I'd try to harp on just creating more of a global community, I guess. I feel like a lot of times we're split on very minute things that really don't matter at the end of the day, and like saying it in humanitarian, I guess, that sort of way, but just getting everyone on the same page in that sense is something I guess I would probably try to use that for.
Jimmy?
I just kind of wanted to harp on, when you got some young guys, right, that are up and coming in this industry or just in life, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, a work-life balance is more subjective than you think. What we do right now at UB and just in general, we love. And even though we sit across from each other 17 hours a day, Brandon and I wholeheartedly believe that, you know, we're not actually at work.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people, they try to marginalize it as our generation and say that, hey, we're not working hard enough, or we got to have it our way.
Mm-hmm.
But in all honesty, you know, sometimes you got to really think, if you really wanted to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter how much time you put into it. So I just wanted to harp on that. Hey, work-life balance is a lot more subjective than you think if you're a young up-and-comer. If you're really passionate and you love what you want to do, there's no such thing that exists. So
no, I fully agree with that. And, you know, as I've gotten older with my job and things of that nature, now having a family, it's definitely very awesome to see, like, either you love what you do or you're just getting by with what you're doing until you get to what you love what you do. Honestly, I think that, and I'm not trying to speak for y'all, but I love my job. I love the fact that I get to work with the college football team. I get to do shit that nobody else gets to ever do. And, you know, I have the chance to visit the White House every year. I have a chance to see some top secret stuff that people in Colorado Springs don't even know that's here. And it's nuts to think that I love my job. If you love your job, you're never going to work a day in your life. And I think that's a thing that's pretty awesome to point out.
Yeah. Like yesterday, I had a doctor's appointment. I was just talking to the nursing assistant. And she asked me what I do, and I explained to her all the stuff I do on a daily basis. And then after, she was like, that's really cool. Like, 20 years when you ask a kid fresh out of college what they do, they'd say accountant, lawyer, yeah. I'm trying to be a doctor. And she said it was really refreshing nowadays to hear all the different things that people our age get a chance to do, because it's just different, break the mold.
I think one thing that we take a lot of pride into, and I know we're talking about our passion, and it sounds like the dream, but just to ground us back to reality a little bit, I get a lot of pride when we get a student assistant in that may not be super passionate about football or sports in general, but they end up developing that during the time that we have together.
Yeah.
And then they discover the passion, and then they end up making, honestly, a life-changing decision. And we have that ability to do that as a department. And I'm super proud of that. And I can't believe where some of my student assistants have gone in such a short period of time. One example is we had one student assistant go to Robert Morris University. And originally he was supposed to be like a recruiting, scouting type assistant, right?
Yeah.
Unpaid volunteer. He just wanted to get his feet wet in the industry in that capacity. Now, you know, he just ended up being around and working his butt off. And now, heck, he's the DFO down there. Yeah. So, I mean, best of luck to him.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a first job to go to. Well, that's what it's all about. It sounds like we live the dream, but we have a unique opportunity to let as many people that want this life or develop a passion to getting into this life in as possible. We have that ability to let them in and be the first step and be the reaching hand. So
yeah, because honestly, a lot of people don't even know what we do. Like that's always been the biggest thing. Whenever I go into a social setting with my wife or her friends, like, she'll introduce me to all the husbands or all like the boyfriends, and I'll sit there and they're like, so what do you do? And I go, well, I'm director of video and creative for the Air Force football team. They're like, wait, what? Like, their eyes pop open. They go, so you get to work with the football team? And it's like, yeah, but there's whole much more. And literally, it's very funny because, like, you'll see the guys that are legitimately interested and they'll take like 20, 30 minutes to talk about what you're doing. And then they're just like, so do you get like free team gear? I'm like, yeah, that's one of the cool perks we get. All right. So let's do this next question here. So when you're scrolling through social media, do you prefer your friends' posts or do you prefer celebrities' posts? Go Jimmy first.
Definitely the friends' posts. Celebrities, I always kind of take with a little grain of salt on whatever they post on. Usually there's some sort of embedded advertisement or embedded, I guess, ulterior motive to try to capture our attention. So definitely my friends' posts.
Okay, Brandon?
Definitely not celebrities. There's a few celebrities I follow, like mainly athletes and whatnot, but I definitely prefer friends. But I also really like following people that I've never met before. Mm-hmm. That way you get a different view. Like, following people on Twitter, you see a good tweet or a good post, and then you start following them, and then you just see new things every day. So I try to keep my timeline kind of diverse.
Okay. All right, next question. Would you rather live the rest of your life in a zoo or a roller coaster park?
Zoo.
Oh.
Definitely get to see life in its not most natural form, but pretty close to it, depending on how contained the zoo is. But definitely, I've always liked animals. I think animals are dope, and it's just cool seeing the way things used to be before we took over everything. But
okay, Jimmy?
I'm gonna just go to the ladder and say an amusement park. There's just a bunch of things that kind of keep your attention, and you can enjoy as you grow old too, like as you get a family and whatnot, like you can entertain your family. That would be my pick.
Okay. So when you're out like in public, where's the place that you feel most out of place? We'll start with Jimmy.
Where I feel most out of place?
Yeah.
Even though I love playing pickup basketball, I feel like I'm the most out of place there because number one, I'm such a hack. I'm such a football player that's playing basketball. You know, like growing up, like I idolized like the Bad Boy Pistons when they beat Jordan. And I mean, I'm like 5'6" and like 250 pounds. So it's, I look pretty out of place out there. But that's one of my favorite recreational activities to do outside of football. So
you're almost like Charles Barkley. I would give you that.
I wish I wouldn't get picked last every single time if I was like Charles Barkley.
Call out every game. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. All right, Brandon.
I'm most out of place. Being a college graduate, it's weird being around a college campus and not being a student. I'm still getting used to that feeling because it's like I'm this close to them, but I'm also that far removed. And I know the other side of the line once you hop that fence and get to the other side. So it's weird knowing both and still being so close to both.
I would have to say that was when I lived in Laramie, that was the, I think, weirdest thing for me because I was only removed from school for 3 months before coming back to Laramie. And I was, you know, I went to school for 7 years. Most people would call me a doctor by that point. But I was 27, 26, and everybody else, you know, there wasn't much you could do in Laramie other than go to the bars or go to, you know, the local tavern or somewhere. And everybody else would be so much younger than me. And it would just be very awkward because all my friends are gone. I was just like, yeah, I'm going to go home and watch The Voice or something. So,
you know what, just to kind of follow up, I kind of just thought of this off the top of my head. But honestly, I would be most uncomfortable right now at like a normal person job, like a normal 9-to-5 job. It's kind of funny because sports is just kind of a different animal where like people can openly like mock other people's salaries and openly like mock each other, bust each other's balls. And well, honestly, like have a really good time at work, right? Like we work our faces off, but when you enter our department, especially, like, you know, you're in for an entertaining time.
Yeah.
But I worked a part-time job when I was working at the University at Albany, and there were just a lot of like different landmines that I just kind of forgot.
socially
that you just like, that's just not really accepted in normal people jobs, 9-to-5. And I didn't really think of anything of it, but yeah, that I would feel the most uncomfortable, honestly, at a 9-to-5 right now.
Yeah, I would say that was probably one of the weirdest things. Trying to sell cell phones was one of my part-time jobs, and then I worked at American Eagle as assistant manager trying to sell jeans to preteens, and literally it was the weirdest damn thing. Like, girls walk up to me and be like, yeah, you need to get these jeans. They go try them on, they come out, they're like, how do I look? I'm like, amazing. You need to buy 3 pairs of those. And then they buy 3 pairs and then walk out of the store. So it was probably the most awkward thing because I was so used to being in a sports atmosphere. I was so used to having camaraderie of the coaching staff and the players and things of that nature to go into an area where I'm working literally with some teenagers, some kids that are just still in college. And then I think she was 30 years old as the manager, and I was the biggest person in the entire store. And I was just like walking around feeling like a giant in like Game of Thrones. But no, that was definitely, I'd say, the weirdest thing, one of the weirder, most out of place places for me. So last quick fire question. Out of all of the sounds in the world, what is your most favorite sound? And we'll start with Brandon.
Favorite sound? That's a good one. I really enjoy the sound of bouncing basketballs.
Okay.
I really do enjoy. Or I'd say the net when I made shots.
Swish, yes. Yeah.
That's really nice. Yeah. Or when you hit just the tip of the metal spring, clong sound, when you shoot, that's really satisfying.
Jimmy?
He took mine. It's the swish of a basketball. Yeah, basketball going through the net. It's one of the most satisfying sounds. But if I had to pick like a second, like I know it's like a new trend right now that I'm trying out, but like kind of ambient noise, whether like rainforest noises or like white noise or whatever. This makes you sound like a nut, but honestly, like it kind of puts you into a state of almost relaxation,
meditation,
a meditative state. Like it just kind of gets you out of the place that you're in, which could be potentially pretty darn stressful. Yeah. as you know, right now it's not too bad since we're in the off season, but it kind of gets you out of the state of, I don't know, feeling stress all the time, or all the attention that your body has been, you know, receiving, and all the inputs that your body has been receiving from social media, friends, family, all that stuff. It kind of just gets you away.
Yeah, I would have to say mine is rain, like the sound of rain. Yeah, my wife and I fall asleep to that at night. My son falls asleep to that tonight. Whenever I need like a quick break, I'll put my headphones in. I have a rain app on my phone. I'll play the rain, and then I'll just edit and just kill it and feel so much better, because I know it's just like, I don't know, I'm one of those weird people. I like to be out in rain. I like to just like be sitting there, like feel the feeling and hear the noises. It's awesome to me. So
like coming from a place where there's always snow, if it's raining, I'm completely happy with that.
I mean, it means it's warm enough that it's not snowing.
Exactly.
All right.
Yes. We're not making that rapid fire session not so rapid.
No, shit, you're fine. The biggest thing was just to kind of ease everything, get everybody good to go. So, all right, with a quick fire session being done. All right, so let's just dive into this real quick. Obviously, I've given everybody a little bit of a background about you guys, but let's start with Brandon. Brandon, give everybody a little bit of, you know, how you've gotten to this point at the University of Buffalo.
Went to high school. I'm kind of bringing it kind of far back, but went to high school, played sports all throughout. I played football, basketball, and lacrosse. I was just very used to the structure and the camaraderie, as you said, of sports. So going into college, I didn't do anything athletic. I did like club lacrosse and intramurals and all that stuff. And that's something I realized I really miss, specifically coming into my schedule and just like the people I was around. Like that was just the crowd I enjoyed being around the most. That was what my majority of my friend group was all the time. So leaving college, or getting close to leaving college, I saw a posting at Albany for a social media intern at Albany, and I hit up Jimmy and he interviewed me and I got the job. He asked me to do graphics. He said, can you make stuff on Photoshop? And I was like, yeah, I took a class freshman year of high school. I think I could make things creatively and look good. So did that for a couple of months, and Jimmy got an opportunity to come up here to Buffalo. I graduated, didn't really know what I wanted to do, and he gave me opportunity and I took it. So.
All right. So Jimmy?
I had a normal person job as the clinical research coordinator for about 3 years during college and a little bit post-college. And I hated every second of it. I'm telling you, like it was such a grind and not what I wanted to do in life. The only sustenance I got out of life was coaching at my alma mater, Kent Meridian High School in Kent, Washington. Shout out. So what happened there was I coached freshman ball and on the varsity side eventually during those 3 years. And I think I made $3,000 total, but that was some of the best money I ever made in my life. We got to make the playoffs for the first time in like 20 some years. So that was incredible. And I think the moment in particular where I knew I needed to get a career in sports was during a work meeting. I was doing freshman practice schedules at my day job. And I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I might as well try to make a career out of this. So Christmas week in December of 2017, I told my mom, hey, I just quit my job and I'm going to take an unpaid internship with the Arizona Rattlers in arena football. And she was ecstatic. Yeah, you could like see the retirement home like in her eyes. Like she was just kind of crestfallen and didn't know what to think. She just wanted the best for me, but left. Did the internship as a video coordinator for 6 months with the Arizona Rattlers. Hardest I've ever worked to this day, I could say. And then the University at Albany, from some stroke of luck, I still don't know why to this day, but gave me my first break as the video coordinator. Had an awesome year with those guys and love those guys to death. Some of my best friends in the industry from forever, you know, from now on will come from there. And then University of Buffalo gave me an opportunity I just couldn't pass up. I mean, the machine is rolling now. And we're just excited to see how much better it's going to get in year two, especially now that we know what the hell we're doing. So yeah. I know what the hell I'm doing in all honesty. So
it's definitely a better feeling, especially when you come into a new place and you feel like you have your bearings about you, and to be able to come into a new situation, new area, be able to have it all situated out, and then the second year you're just like, we're really gonna fuck shit up. Like this is gonna be a good time. You guys both went to college. Now, what did you guys both go to college for? And we'll start with Jimmy.
I went to college for database management and psychology.
Okay.
And again, it was in preparation to having a normal person career. I got hired as a data researcher and then coordinator in my junior year of college. So doing the college deal, working full time, coaching. I mean, that was pretty rough. But a lot of the stuff that I learned in terms of the basics of database management, I still use to this day for my video job, the coach's video job. But like we've harped on a little bit at the beginning, all of the post-production stuff, self-taught. I mean, if you go back, you can still look at the timeline at the University of Albany. What a sad, sad sack of videos I put out the first, month or two down there, right? And once you end up getting your groove, right, creatively, and you figure out, how you want to present stuff, then things got a lot better. But, yeah, that's my story.
Brandon?
Yeah, so I went into college looking towards engineering. Albany had a nanoscale science and engineering program. Initially, I didn't get accepted into it. You have to go through a semester or a year of doing either chemistry or physics, and then you can apply to that school. So I was a physics major for 2 years, realized I hated it. Then I got into communications and business, which I actually did enjoy. I always liked numbers, and seeing how that correlates to real life money was pretty cool. So I graduated in that field.
When you guys were in college, was this something that you did as a side job? Were you a student filmer, or was that a possibility at your school?
Well, honestly, I messed that opportunity up. So I actually went up to Bill Wong when we went to the video conference this weekend, and I apologized for not taking the opportunity to stick through it 4 years. So I actually had a shot to work with Bill Wong and UW football in my sophomore year, right? But I forgoed that for an opportunity to make it decent amount of cash as a researcher. But now looking back at it in hindsight, I definitely should have stuck with it. Stuff like that, you kind of look back on, and that's what kind of builds you up, right? Mm-hmm. The person you realize, I regretted that opportunity, and I'm not going to mess up this time now that I have another opportunity.
Brandon?
I would go to games, but I never looked into the opportunity of doing any of that. I was kind of busy hanging out with friends, playing intramurals, just yeah. Working out, was also reffing and working for the intramural company at my school. So I was really just doing a lot of that stuff.
For myself, what I ended up doing is I started out marketing promotions, and I did an internship with marketing promotions. And my boss, Mike Wyman at the time, he was going to be my boss. He had just gotten out of doing marketing promotions. He's like, "You like football?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Do you know we filmed it?" And I was like, "Wait, what?" And he goes, "Do you want to make money doing this?" And I said, "Yeah." So I took him and one of my best buddies, James Kircher, and I said, "Hey, let's go do this." And we did that for 4 years. We did the marketing promotions for 4 years. And then I worked at our gym or whatever, with intramurals for 4 years, just trying to see what exactly I wanted to do with the communications degree. I really had no fucking clue what I wanted to do.
I feel you there.
Yeah. You go with all these classes and you go, unless you have something situated out, with Jimmy, with your data and things of that nature, you don't really have a clue. And then you get out of school and it's like, what the fuck am I going to do now? There's really no options. And that was, I think, the toughest thing for me, because having a communications degree, it was pretty broad, but I had, sports admin background, I had PR background, and I was just trying to figure out what the hell to do. And working at American Eagle was not the most ideal job in the world, but it paid the bills for the time being.
I wish somebody would have told us, hey, just because you get a degree in something doesn't mean it's gonna force you to be in the job that you're in.
I wish there was a class like that. In college, I wish there was a class that's just common sense, because majority of people need to take that as a required, prerequisite class before you go into anything else. Because I think the world would be better off ultimately, because people would have more general common sense about what to do and how to do life. And I mean, they could teach things like how to change a tire, how to balance a checkbook, because I know a bunch of kids. Or do taxes. And that's I know a bunch of people that have no clue how to do any of that. And they're just now I have someone that does that for me. The more and more I look at life and things that people do for me, I feel like I'm cheating myself. Like I want to be able to do my own stuff for myself, you know, my job. I want to be able to do that so that I feel like I'm actually learning something.
And then you have those skills to help the people that you're close to.
Exactly. I know we talk about our job and what inspired you, you know, professionally, but what inspires you personally to do what you do daily? Because I know you said professionally it was seeing your student assistants go up and be able to do what they want to be able to do and what you've taught them to do. But what inspires you personally in your job?
This is going to sound like social political or whatever, but and it shouldn't honestly matter. Being an Asian American in sports is a point of pride that I take with me every single day wherever I go, because it's not something that is the norm as you're growing up in a traditional Asian American household. And that goes for a lot of people. It might even be, you know, frowned upon in that household, but taking that sense of pride and being able to show other people that might be in my position that one might not have been the best at sports physically, but feel like they can be awesome professionally in the industry is something I want to be able to at least inspire one person to do. And the beautiful thing about sports is that no matter what race, creed, you know, color you are, we have an ability based off an ability to be successful. No other outlying factors matter if you have the talent and the wherewithal to be successful. So that's a sense of pride I take with me internally every day.
Brandon?
Kind of two things that play into each other. The first being, like, I have another job right now. I work at the campus bookstore. And like, I love being there. I love the people there, but I also hate being there. So just getting to a point in this career where I don't have to do that is something that pushes me every day. And also just knowing where my family's been and where we've come from, being able to make it in one of those jobs that, like I mentioned before, like being an accountant, being a doctor, being a lawyer, all these quote unquote regular jobs that will get the job done. Just being able to push it in a field that I really enjoy and being able to make it and prosper in that sense is something that pushes.
Seeing everybody at CSVA, I think, is a huge thing too, because you get to see all walks of life, be it, you know, somebody with a disability, somebody, you know, with different ethnicity, someone with a completely different background that you wouldn't expect to have a job like this to see. I call us a motley crew, CSVA, because we all come together and we make this beautiful association that is so helpful, so willing to be there for anybody that you need to be, and just so open. Like that's some of the cool things that I think pretty awesome about CSVA, and just being able to meet new people before any of this, and just meeting you guys. Like, it was very awesome to be able to meet you guys, because you guys seem like the life of a party when we went to the Meteorite event that one night. And then, you know, it's just a complete flip the next night when you do the CSVA welcome party, things like that. You get to meet a whole other gamut of people. Like, I got to meet all the DV Sport guys and talk to them. I may not buy any of their products. I may buy one of their products. Like, I'm an Exos guy. Like, that's what it boils down to. But just being able to have that collective group of people come together, I think speaks volumes for the association that we're part of.
No, it was incredible. It was our first conference, right? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of nice going somewhere where you know that the people there have empathy on what you go through on a daily basis. You know, sometimes, you know, it might be venting, sometimes it might be complaining, whatever you end up talking to people about, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, at the end of the day, that we all have a singular purpose. Knowing people that are out there that have the same purpose as you, maybe more talented, maybe more driven than you, should be even more motivating for us to really knock it out of the park for future years. Because these are people that you know maybe by association, or maybe know digitally through Facebook or Twitter or whatever. But seeing these people in real life really breaks down the veil.
Yeah.
Or the fear that these are just normal people going through life just like the rest of us. And it was an awesome experience, really. We took a lot of great information back. And I guess, man, this is a podcast of all shouts, but we should shout out Darby Dunnigan from mm-hmm. Northwestern and the executive board for putting on an awesome event. Really, I thought for my first time there, something that was really informative, well put together, that we're going to go to from now on. It was awesome.
I loved it. again, from the point where you said all walks of life, I like seeing people like my age and just like a little bit older than me, that was really cool. Seeing how they're pushing into the industry and changing things and adding new things to taking from what the older generation has shown and proven to be the way of doing things, but also seeing on the tiny little things that you can tweak here and there to make it better, and make it more productive. That's something I thought was really cool.
No, I completely agree with you guys. I think it was a well put on event. I did not expect to be eating lobster and crab legs and prime rib on the last day of the event, because I was just like, do we have the money for this? Like,
so, as you went through the conference, you were like, oh, obviously they do.
Yeah. All the vendors, things of that nature. It was pretty awesome to be able to have any of that.
It was awesome. Yeah. Thank you to the sponsors. Yeah. We love you. Appreciate you.
All right. So after talking about what inspires you personally, and obviously you've spoken about what has inspired you professionally, what about your job excites you? I know for me, being able to see my filmers at daily and talk to them, see what's going on in their lives, see how football is helping their lives, see how I'm helping their lives. Like, one of my big things at the academy is I promote this is a family atmosphere. A lot of these kids, be it at your college, be it at the academy, they don't get to see their family all the time. Some kids may not have a family. Some kids may have a really awesome family. Some kids may have a broken family. And to have some type of stability and a team atmosphere and family atmosphere is one of the things that really excites me about my job, because then I feel like they trust me and they trust the program and the situations and things that I put them into, because I wouldn't put them into shitty situations. To know that I have a family away from my family really excites me about my job, and knowing that I'm going to have good workers. So what excites you guys about your job? We'll start with Brandon.
I definitely love, like what you said, I love my department. I love my like entire staff. But one thing that really pushes over the edge for me is interactions with players. I remember being like a high school kid with all my coaches and having those connections, and how those people made me feel, made me want to work harder, yada yada, whether it was in school, on the field, all those type of things. But having those interactions, I really enjoy that. And like when a kid comes up to you, say, hey, I saw you made this, or thanks for putting a film, or this and that, I really appreciate that, because that shows that they actually like know what you do, they care what you do, and they realize how the small part of what you do really affects the bigger picture. So that's what I really like.
Okay, Jimmy?
I think that the sense of pride that you get, it might not be like this for everywhere, but Brandon and I are on the front lines of putting stuff out digitally every day and trying to compete with programs like yours, programs like Oklahoma. I mean, from the whole country, to break it really down, like honestly, the lifeblood of every college program is recruiting, right? And we need to do our part to make sure that we're competitive in making this place look as attractive as possible for potential players to come here, sponsors, donors. We're on the front line, and that's just putting it plain and simple. That should excite you every single day, and it excites me knowing that I get to compete every day, even when the football's not being snapped anymore. Because, you know, as a comparison to the NFL, from things I've heard, that college don't stop. When the games stop, recruiting starts back up, camp circuit starts back up, personal camp circuit starts back up, and then, you know, before you know it, we're kicking the ball off again. So this is a grind 24/7, 365 days a year. The life excites this part of my life. Some people say the football is just a small part of life. Like, no, it's my life.
Yeah.
Brandon can attest to that. Like, I really don't have much going on outside for me. I really don't have any prospects going for me. But that's what gets me excited to come to work every day, knowing that I get to compete and be part of this life.
So ladies, if you're curious, Jimmy possibly is open. You can reach him at his Twitter handle, and just know that he works consistently. He's a tough worker, good looking dude. Would you say 5'8", 250?
I'm going to say 6'8".
6'8".
Is 195.
Chiseled. Solid. Chiseled.
Okay. Yeah, it's chiseled. Okay. We're going to get the catfishing out of the way now. And if you have low standards, it would be much appreciated. I'm just letting you know right now.
I mean, his Tinder game is strong, ladies, but he's holding on for the one.
It could be vastly improved, but I would always say that I'm married to the game no matter what. That's my politically correct answer and the honest answer. I'm married to the game, and whatever ends up happening in my personal life is meant to happen at the time it happens. But right now, pretty damn focused on Buffalo football. So
I like it. I like it a lot. After talking about what excites you with your job, if you could change one thing in this industry, what would those things be and why? We'll start with Jimmy this time.
I talked about this a little bit in my presentation when it comes to student assistance, but the time for where supervisors are just like Steve Jobs, people that rule like a czar or a dictator over their departments is long gone. Maybe it should have never been that way. We're dealing with a different type of person now that comes through college. They're not blind to the fact that whenever you ask them to do something, that they want to know why. They want to know the why to everything. Like, why is what I'm doing important, right?
Yeah.
Why is this mundane thing like do to help me in the big picture? And, you know, how do we do that? I mean, we need to be able to dedicate ourselves to our students as much as humanly possible outside when our jobs are done, whether that's being able to promote them, get them jobs without being prompted to. That was a huge thing is that if they tell me like they apply to a job somewhere, like I'm just going to, you know, proactively write a recommendation for them, yeah. Give them a phone call. I mean, this is a small world that we're in, especially the video world. You got, 130 head guys. You might have one or two assistants underneath each person. Like, everybody knows everybody. And the things that we could do within our own power to change somebody's life, that can't be understated. Don't undermine that power you have to change somebody's life. And it definitely should be for the positive. And for people in the old guard that don't want to change their ways of thinking, well, there's those people in the new school, right, that are coming to take your job. Flat out honest, that are here to make a better place for video and college athletics in general. And hopefully we'll see our efforts rewarded 5, 10, 15 years down the line,
yeah,
with our students, right?
Brandon?
For me, I would say it is the things like this that we're doing right now, like your podcast, the support staff podcast that shouts out people in these different fields, equipment, training, video, that really helped the cog and helped the machine run. Mm-hmm. And seeing that at a bigger level is something I really do hope to see. For every 10 kids that say that they love what we do, there's probably one that doesn't even know what goes on in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I heard over the conference that I think the CFL, they're adding a salary cap to the support staff on every team. And that sounds crazy, specifically when you get down to the numbers that everyone would get, considering the amount of work and time that everyone puts in, because everyone knows the support staff, we're here, same as coaches, same as players, trying to get a final product, which at the end of the day is winning games. So
yeah, and if not more, too. I think the majority of the time, like, I'm certain you guys do this too, but Sunday mornings, you know, I'm in at 5 a.m., I'm loading the games up from, you know, the previous Saturday just so that I can go home Saturday night and spend some time with my family, but Sunday morning, 5 a.m., I'm here. I'm here all day. You know, I'm putting in the 15, 16-hour days throughout the season. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't ever really, I guess, see or hear, because we're the behind-the-scenes people. You know, we're the guys that are busting our ass, but not, you know, looking for an attaboy or congratulations, you busted your ass this week and worked 80 hours. But I think that's huge. And, you know, to both your points, Jimmy, I think having the dictatorship or the czar leader mentality is something, the thing of a past, and having more of a collective, everybody pitch in, everybody have the same mindset, be uplifting, is a huge thing to have with a lot of the younger people coming up. Because the more and more I see it, I've now had in my 4 years here, I've had 3 graphic designers, and they've all gone on to do bigger and better things. And I'm happy for that. Like you said, you'll write them a recommendation. I'll call the person and say, hey, if you don't hire this person, you're a fucking idiot. Like, you know, this, I am going to push my people out there so that they're getting the best jobs. Not to like go through a list of people at Wyoming. I have Kirsten Phillips, who's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. I have Taylor Bailey. He's working with Jake Stroot down at Georgia as like his assistant. I have Bo, who's been up for 12 job interviews, and you know, he's been crazy with everything he's got going on. Josh Fralick, he's down with Baylor University is one of their head graphic guys. You know, and Brandon Baker, he had a stint with the AFL. Sad that it didn't, you know.
RIP, pour one out for our people at the AFL.
But, like, to see these, you know, former employees go out and be able to do awesome things, it's just, like, it's cool to see your tree out there. And to see, like, you know, people talk about coaching trees all the time. I talk about support staff trees. People that I've worked with that are different areas, GAs even too, like what they're doing now. And it's awesome to see when you water those plants to see what they grow and become.
No, I agree with everything you said. And to be quite frank, this is something we probably don't talk enough as supervisors, managers, video coordinators, whatever you want to call it, is that if somebody doesn't want this as part of their life, and we are able to deter them from it, I'm happy with that too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying this life's for everybody. It definitely is not for everybody. If you expect to be the armchair quarterback like you usually are and think like, oh, I get to spend my whole Sunday like just watching NFL games after the game is over, right? Or if I'm sitting here like playing video games like most of the day when practice isn't happening, right? Like, you're sorely wrong.
Yeah.
Like, there's always something to do, especially now in our positions. The expectations post-production wise is so much more. It almost looks like in the last maybe 6 to 8 years, post-production has just been nuts. I mean, it's basically people that are like writing screenplays and directors.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just some dude that learned stuff off of YouTube. That's stuff that, you know, sometimes you got to be honest with yourself and you're like, I don't know if I can keep up with those people, but man, no, if I can help deter somebody from this life just as much as accept somebody into this life, I'm totally okay with that too.
Yeah. And that's what I found too is, you know, I've had kids that just did it because it was a paycheck. It was an easy paycheck. They just wanted to get in, get out, and then go home and do their job. They were some of the better filmers that I possibly ever had, but not this job isn't for everybody. And that's the biggest reason of this podcast is to shine light on what our jobs entail, the hours, the pay, things of that nature, and let them know like, hey, this is something you can get into. Because honestly, if I would have heard this when I was a freshman in college, you know, a second time freshman in college at University of Wyoming, I probably would have just been like, wait, this is an actual job and I don't need to get a degree? Sign me up. It's just crazy to me that a lot of people don't know about what we do or how we do it or where or when we do it. Yeah. That's, like I said, a big reason for the podcast. So with that being said, kind of shine light on what a normal day is for you. Obviously, you guys have similar roles, but they're different at the same time. Kind of shine light on what exactly it is you do, what time you come in, what time you go home, you know, and what you do in between. And we'll start with Brandon.
For me, we typically get here, like, specifically in the off season, 8-ish. For me, I know I have to make sure I get birthdays out. So give our shout outs to any guys having birthdays or whatnot. I always like to start a day with a quick scroll over Pinterest. Skull Sparks, I get to see what some of the top graphics are that day or what's coming out, what's new, what's the new trends, what looks good. So I always like to get that in my head. So ideas moving. If I have a graphic that I need to get done, then I'll just hop into it, turn on a podcast, listen to some music, and then it's just really just grinding away at that until I have something video-wise to do.
Okay, and what's in-season look like for you?
We usually get in at about 6. Okay. Meeting started at about 7. So you usually want to be here a little bit earlier to make sure that, one, everything works. And if something doesn't work, you're here early enough. Well, one, if your coach calls you, like, you're here and you're not at home sleeping. And two, it just kind of gives you peace of mind to go in a little bit earlier to know that, hey, if something happens, like, I'm right here, I'm ready to fix it. Because that's a little bit of our job too that most people don't talk about, is like, once you get to not just a spare draw level, but our level and below, like, you got to have a little bit of fix it ability, be able to be the front line for IT when they can't make it over here, because they work normal hours, right? Like, they don't, I'm not saying they need to be here those hours, but you got to be the one to take the brunt of it. Then most of the time I start my day similar to Brandon, like, I'm scrolling Twitter, right? Because that's the lifeblood right now for most college programs. You're checking ideas, you're checking graphics. I handle the vision of the two programs, the video creative program and then the graphic design program. So I'm making sure that we get stuff done plenty in advance so we can get approvals from our superiors to put stuff out, and making sure we keep up with the latest trends. And honestly, I make sure that I handle everything administratively throughout the day, whether it's meeting with student assistants, making sure that all their paperwork and whatnot is done, so that when they come in they just can focus on their job. Like, they have nothing to worry about besides, look, I can come in, create something, and have a little bit of fun, crack a joke or two, and then leave. Once you get up to a directorship, there's a lot more paperwork than you think. Like, your day is consistent of a lot more HR paperwork and just handling, like, conversations across the street with the media team. Just a lot more of that than you think. That takes you away from maybe creating, but it's a necessary evil in order for your department to run smoothly. So,
and that's some of the things too. Like, people talk about the glitz and the glamour about creating things and the coach's video and things of that nature, but the behind the scenes is the human resources point. Like, Brandon, did you clock in? Did you clock out? Like, did you put in for that vacation time? Things of that nature that I'm constantly in meetings all day. Majority of the time, I feel like I'm in 4 to 5 meetings a day. Yeah. And I'm running around, and then I try and get a workout in because Lord knows my fat ass isn't going to be able to fit into those 34 pants that they got me set up for the season. But, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes things that even us behind the scenes people have to do. And to be able to, you know, manage all of that and direct all of that is a huge thing as well. So
I don't think you've had another video director besides yourself yet on, but now we get into the practice part of the day.
Yep.
We can have, it varies based on program, but we have 5 filmers going on during every practice. We film, you know, for you aficionados, the all 22,
yep,
which is basically the way that all of the coaches and the players watch film of themselves or of the opponent in order to prepare for the next opponent or to just get better in general. We handle 4 main angles on a single play. That's the sideline, 2 end zones, and then a wide end zone angle. And then we have a ground cam when we handle, you know, certain aspects of practice that need somebody on the ground to film stuff, whether it's pass rush or the kicker. There's different things like of that nature. But then afterwards, immediately after practice, we're coming in and we're putting it up into the system and forming it into a way where the coaches are able to watch it, usually about a half hour after practice. And the neat thing about film today is that you can actually now push all film up to the cloud, and now all players can get it on their iPads, get it on their phones, get it on their laptop. I mean, the amount of access that you have towards getting better, right, is now 24/7. I mean, it's incredible. I remember, like, back in the day, like, for high school football, you would kind of just show up, like, into the coach's room, right? Like, there was no avenue for you to just watch it whenever you wanted. Lucky is not the right word. I think we're very fortunate about the resources that we have to get our jobs done. I've heard all the old timers talk about how for film exchange, they literally had to, like, go drive out with, like, a DVD and, yeah, like, exchange with teams like 100, 200, 400 miles to go just exchange film, or, like, literally cut up film. Like,
out to dry and all that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Literally take a pair of scissors and cut ups. And we're fortunate to be able to do what we do from that standpoint and have it be as efficient as possible. And then afterwards, that's when we get into the nitty-gritty of the creative stuff. Usually that's in the evening where people leave us alone after practice. They're in meetings and stuff. Students usually go home for the day. And then that's when I'm at my peak, is in the evening, being able to take all the clips that I might have filmed from practice or a workout and prepare it for a weekly recap video, a motivational video. And, I mean, it sounds like a basic maybe 6 to 8, 6 to 9, 6 to 10 day, but it's the life. It's a life. Yeah. It's not a job. It's the life. So,
and it's truly anything but, you know, the 9 to 5 or the 8 to 4 jobs or 8 to 5 jobs, because, like you said, you know, you have the five cameras on field. Like, we have 10 cameras on the field. And, you know, we're getting the end zone shot, we're getting the sideline shot. And then on top of that, I have 3 kids that are out there shooting highlights along with myself, or they're taking photos. Oh, yeah. So it's crazy to think of the structure that needs to be put in place for that, because without that, this team would have nothing. Your team would have nothing, because when you think about it and boil it down to the, you know, bare bones, we are the starting base of a football team. If they didn't have us, they wouldn't be able to break down film. They wouldn't be able to break down practices and wouldn't be able to prepare for, you know, the upcoming game. And on the flip side of that too, like you guys are saying, recruiting wise, we're the lifeblood. We're the ones that are putting out our image, our ethos of the team, so that recruits can see what we have going on. And also the fans. Putting butts in the seats is another big thing too. Like we're not able to get funding for Brandon or for Bo if we don't have the money to pay for these people. You know, money just doesn't grow on trees, and if it did, I would have at least 5 to 6 of those trees and water the shit out of them so I got as much off them. But to know that we're that interweaved with the program, I think is something that is highly respectable and just highly awesome to be able to know that you help the team more often than you don't even think you help the team. So
all right, that's all the time we have for today with the Support Staff Podcast. Again, guys, tune in for next week's episode where we have part 2 of the Support Staff Podcast with the University at Buffalo guys, Jimmy and Brandon, where they will go into a couple other questions as well as ask some questions and turn the tables on me. Thank you guys again for listening. Hope everything is going well in your prospective support staff roles. And as always, good morning. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Thanks, guys. Hope you have a great day.